This is The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds. Comedian Joan Rivers died yesterday at the age of 81. Movies, television, reality TV, the queen of the roast. Joan Rivers did it all and was famous, really famous, for most of her life. Of course, most comedians never get that far. Some burn out, some fade away, and some remain in this rarely examined world of the working artist. There are gigs on cruise ships, two-night stints in Minneapolis, more than enough work to make a pretty good living. Brad Upton is one of those guys. He came into our studios earlier this week to talk about his comedy career. He told my colleague Marcy Silman about his decision to leave his steady and safe career as a fourth grade teacher to pursue the life of a comic.
Well, I was 28 years old, and I said, if I'm going to do this, you're not getting any younger. You're going to be 30 in a couple of years, and if you're going to try and be a comedian, you better start now. You have to do it now. So I did it.
I'm always curious. Did you practice in front of, I don't know, you were a teacher. Did you practice right in front of your students?
Well, I've told people before, going from entertaining a room full of drunks from 10-year-olds isn't a big career change. But I didn't do my exact set in front of the kids. When I was teaching, I always had fun in the class. I would try and get laughs, and you know, that was just I was entertaining myself as much as I was entertaining the kids.
And at what point did you decide comedy was going to work and you were going to leave teaching behind?
Following summer, after I first started, I did the Spokane Laugh Off, and I worked with a couple of guys that were full-time professionals, and they were talking about how much fun they were having on the road, and I went, God, that sounds like a great time. That just sounds like a blast. And I felt like I was as good as they were. And I thought, well, I'm going to quit teaching. And I asked for a leave of absence from the school district, and they wouldn't give it to me, so I quit.
Well, I noticed you're wearing a wedding ring. Were you married at the time you made this great decision?
I was not, but I was going out with my wife at the time. She claims never to have worried about it, and I don't think she did at the time. And the plan was, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this for a year. And if it doesn't work, I'll go back and teach school. Because, you know, I knew I could get rehired. I was a male that taught elementary school, and I coached athletics. So I knew I could get a job right away. So I said, well, if it doesn't work out, I can always go back and teach school. And it worked out, so I've never had to go back.
You did, however, you mentioned you were an athlete. You were a competitive track athlete. You were a hurdler. And I'm curious how being a competitive hurdler would prepare you for stand-up comedy. What do they have in common?
I recognized right away, because I was a hurdler, and when you're standing at the starting line of the hurdles, and you're standing there and you're looking at 10 hurdles in front of you, and yes, you're competing against 7 other athletes, but really what you're competing against is you have to execute those 10 hurdles. You have to execute those. And if you execute those well, then the competition will take care of itself. And I recognized that when I first started doing a comedy competition, is you would see all these other neurotic comedians walking around worried about each other and what else anybody wore and what jokes they were doing and how the crowd was reacting. And I stood there going, you can't worry about them. You just have to execute your set. And so I think the mindset, I did very well in those competitions because I didn't worry about everybody else. And I could see all these neurotic comedians worrying about everybody else.
I'm talking with comedian Brad Upton. And you have been doing this for 30 years now,
30
as
years.
We said. Do you think of yourself as a successful comedian?
Yeah, because I've had a career that's lasted that long. That's all I've ever done. When I first started, all I wanted to do was stand up. And if, you know, I didn't want to move to L.A. and turn into an actor or write for sitcoms. I just wanted to do stand up. And I've been doing it ever since. And I feel very lucky. And I make a surprisingly good income each year and in obscurity for the most part.
I certainly, and maybe listeners, have the idea that you either go for it, you go to L.A. or Vegas. I'm mm-hmm. actually not sure where comedians go. But L.A., you succeed, you get a show, it would be the Brad Upton show, and
right.
you'd be riffing, and you'd have some sidekicks that would come into your house through the back door, and that would
right,
be it.
Exactly.
Or you don't succeed, you fail, and you go back to that normal job mm-hmm. as teaching, and you aren't on either of those ends. So what is it like to be a working guy?
There are, I think the perception among the public is among comedians, you're either broke and starving or rich and famous and nowhere in between. And there is a group of comedians, and I don't know how many there are. I've probably 150 in the U.S. that make a really nice living, and they're professional. They're really good at it. They're just not famous. It's like when you see a singer. You ever see a singer and you go, why is this singer not famous? This singer's fantastic. Well, they're just not. They just didn't get seen by the right person, or they're not in L.A. And And so I've done that. And the people, when they always come up and go, do you do anything else? I go, no, this is all I do. I literally, in June, I went back and did two nights in Singapore, three in Hong Kong, and one in Macau. And I've worked some clubs in Australia. And then I do cruise ships, six or eight cruise ships all over the world. And then I do a lot of corporate events.
Well, what about on a cruise ship? Say you're on a 10-night cruise. Do you have to have 10 different shows?
No, here's the beauty of it, and this is what people will hate me about. If I'm on a cruise ship for a week, I usually only work one night.
And then you're on a cruise?
And then I'm done. I have one night of employment, and I do two shows that, whatever night, I don't know what night I'm working. I get on the ship, and I'll go in and introduce myself to the cruise director, and he goes, okay, you're on night four. See you on Thursday. And then I'm...
You're cruising.
I'm on my own on a cruise ship all week. And then the night I perform, I do two 45-minute shows. It's the same show. It's 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock, and then I am done for the rest of the week. It's a good gig. Trust me.
That does sound pretty good.
That's why there's professional comedians that are out there going, I'm going to do this. I don't care if I'm not famous. I'm having lunch in Venice today. Look at me.
You have, throughout all these years, been a hurdling coach. You've worked with sports teams. You've worked with colleges in
right.
the Puget Sound region. Do you continue to do that?
Yeah, I still do. I just finished my eighth year at Shorecrest High School, and every year I say this is my last year, and then I go, okay, one more year. That's kind of been my pattern. But I was a hurdler when I got out of in college, and then when I got out of college, I kept competing, and I ran until I was 34 years old. And then when I moved over here to do stand-up full-time, I started coaching at the University of Washington just as a volunteer. So I was there 10 years.
You worked at SPU as well.
For a season.
So do they know that you have this other hat that you wear?
They do. They figure it out after a while. It's not, you know, it was funny when I was coaching at the UW, and then I'd have these kids that I was spending my afternoons with, and then they'd finally turn 21 and come to a show, and they go, "Hey, you're not like that at practice." I go, "No, I'm not. This is what I do. This is my job, and this is what I do for fun. I like this part here. I enjoy this." And I still... just finished my eighth year at Shorecrest where I coach the hurdlers. And a lot of the guys I know, I've been around track for years. I don't think a lot of the track people know what I do as a comedian. And a lot of the comedians don't know that I do track. It's kind of, you know, they don't overlap very often. Track,
no?
Track and comedy do not overlap.
Well, 30 years of both coaching hurdling and of entertaining people around the world. We talked about that sort of almost famous area that you occupy. Is there a part of you that's still waiting for the big break?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think one reason I've been pretty successful is I haven't had a gigantic, huge ego about any of it. But you still have an ego about it. You'd still like to get recognized once in a while because in the business and among other comedians, I'm well known. And you think, boy, I wish a few more people could see this or I could get on a late night TV spot or do a DVD or something like that. That would certainly up my money and make it easier.
You told my producer you're going to be doing comedy as long as you're able, unlike coaching hurdling.
Right.
What is it about comedy, about telling jokes, that is so engaging for you?
Well, I think for me, I'm sure of it, that being on stage and performing every night is a wonderful mental exercise. I mean, it keeps your brain sharp. There are a lot of comedians, you know, George Burns and Bob Hope and God bless her, Joan Rivers, have been performing until old age, and they're sharp and they're good. And I think when you get on stage every night and you have to face a live audience and do that set, you have an hour-long set in your head that you have to do, I think it's a great mental exercise. And as long as they keep asking me to,
you're going to do it.
Absolutely. And it's fun. It's fun to perform. I mean, it really is to be on stage. And there are a lot of times in the middle of the show where I just think, God, this is fun. I'm having a good time. I'm very lucky. I'm fortunate.
Comedian Brad Upton talking with KUOW's Marcy Silman. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.